The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Fear. Fear. Just saying and hearing the word makes you a little anxious, doesn't it? It's not a subject that we like to talk about. But fear is a powerful human emotion. And though we're not born with it, there's something innate in us, and it develops over our life experiences. It starts in childhood. The first time you take that little finger and you hit that oven door after cookies have just been baked and come out of the oven, you remember that. It burns. As you're riding your bike, and you jump off that curb, and you tumble over your handlebars, and you end up with a nice little scar right here that you can tell your friends about later. You're starting to develop fear. Perhaps in your family, as was with mine, there was a giant wooden spoon that sat on the top of the refrigerator. And I knew my mother meant business, and I was afraid. I ran. And these fears move along with us in adolescence. In fact, the cousins to fear, worry, and anxiety show up to join you. There's all these questions about whether you're good enough, you're pretty enough, you're handsome enough, popular enough. Will that boy that I like so much ask me to the dance, or will I watch him go with somebody else? Did I study enough for that test? We'll find out when we get our grade. And these fears pick up steam. They take us into adulthood. You may graduate from college wondering, what am I going to do with myself? Is there going to be a job out there? Am I going to be able to make a living? Am I going to find someone who loves me and cherishes me enough to want to spend the rest of their life with me? And if you're lucky enough to find that person, get married, have children, well, that starts a whole new set of fears. We can go back to number one and number two. You've aged enough by then to know that those life experiences that you've had, you just don't want your children to have to go through that. And you fear for them. I can remember the terror on my mother's face after I got my driver's license and drove away in her car. But then we move into maturity, into aging of life. And that brings another set of fears. The fear of sickness and poor health. The fear of being a burden to your family. The fear of being alone, isolated. The fear of what is going to happen to me. Do I still have a place in this world? Do I still offer something? Am I still productive? And the overarching fear above all of these is death. We fear death. Now, Jesus understands fear all too well. He had a human body. He walks amongst us. He observed. He knew that the apostles would be afraid, and so would we. And last week we heard the beginning of chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus starts out being just overwhelmed by the crowds of people who had plenty of fears and worries and pains and sufferings coming to him. So he gathered up his disciples, commissioned them as apostles, gave them all the authority in the way that he had it to heal and to bless and to reconcile and to make them whole. He gave them some pretty clear instructions about where to go, who to see, travel light, go to a home, offer them shalom, peace. If it's not returned to you, then move on. Let God take care of the rest. He also gave them instructions. Be sure that you tell everyone you encounter the good news, the words and deeds, and tell the people the kingdom has come near. And oh, by the way, things are going to be hard. In fact, they're going to want to try and stop you, those powers that be that you're going to threaten and challenge. They'll arrest you. They'll put you on trial. Perhaps there's flogging involved. And there might even be death. You will be like sheep among wolves, vulnerable to attack. So be smart and be gentle. It's a tall order. And if that's not enough, where we drop into the gospel today, there's even more. Jesus continues. He continues telling the apostles about how things are going to be. Because you are with me, you're going to be treated the same way. And that may be very badly. Your association with me is cause for suspicion and threat to those whose life is based on keeping the status quo. You will challenge them in a way they won't like. So Jesus laid it all out for them. He named all the possibilities of what could happen to their future and what that might look like. And then Jesus tells the apostles three times and in three ways, do not be afraid. Now, how could they not help but be afraid? It's so ingrained in us, fear. And they had lived lives. They had left everything that they knew, their friends, their family, their vocations, their homes, to join Jesus, to follow him, to love him, to be disciples. And now they were hearing all this. Jesus must have had a good reason to tell them, do not be afraid. And it was because he knew they would be afraid. But he knows that. And he knows that about us. And when we have those fears, he's given us a place to bring them and put them and share them. Now, I'm pretty busy during my day, and maybe you are too. Fairly distracted. I keep on task, try and work my to-do list, make those phone calls, see those people. So my fears come to greet me generally someplace between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. And I am wide awake, and I'm running them through my mind. Worries, anxieties, worrying about things that haven't even happened yet, worrying about the things I didn't get done, worrying about my family in California, wondering if everything's okay, we haven't talked for a little while, worried about something that I saw on the news before I went to bed that I probably should have skipped, some story from the New York Times. It's all there. It's all there. Well, Jesus gave us a place to take those fears. And it's right here. And it's in this community. And it's to this altar. The apostles go out. They visit. They do all the things that Jesus has asked them to do. And they also were the same apostles who started the church. The church of people who had nowhere else to go. Didn't belong anywhere else. They were rejected. They were considered failures. They were isolated for whatever reason. And the apostles said, come. Come be with us. Be in this community. And we're going to offer you the love and grace that the world hasn't offered you. So Jesus tells those apostles, in the middle of the scripture we hear this morning, do not be afraid. And there's three ways that he expresses this. Do not be afraid. You know the truth through my words and deeds. You know who I am. Do not be afraid. The body can be hurt by others, but they can't touch your soul. Do not be afraid. Are two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not be afraid. God so loves the world, this world, and so loves us that God came as Jesus to live among us, to show us the truth of God's love, to show us that God redeems all, every fear, every worry, every anxiety, and even death, and makes it new life. Do not be afraid. I promise I will be with you always. I want to close with a prayer that I offer to you. And these words in the beginning are going to sound familiar, but there's more to it that rarely gets read. So let it wash over you. Let us pray. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that he will make all things right. And if we surrender to his will, that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.